Dear congregation, as we end a calendar year, it's important to pause and reflect on what this year that is now almost past has brought our way. And it's good to think about what has happened in our families, physically, financially, but most importantly, spiritually. As we look at this, let us ask this question: have we gained ground in this past year spiritually, or have we lost ground? Or maybe held our ground, but nothing more? What has been our focus spiritually in the year that is now almost in the books? Well, the Word of God calls us to answer this question in the light of the picture of a battle, of warfare. I don't know whether you have thought about this past year as a battle. Maybe you did have battles that you fought, and you feel or felt like you had many enemies that were opposing you. How did the battle go this past year? God's Word reminds us that on this side of eternity, we're here to enter the kingdom of heaven. And to do that, we need to fight. And we need to fight bitterly and hard. And that's our focus this morning, as you can see it in the words of our text. Matthew 11, verse 12, these words from the Lord Jesus. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Our theme with God's help this morning is taking heaven by storm. We'll see, first of all, the need to take heaven by storm, the way that we take heaven by storm, and the promise that comes to those who take heaven by storm. Taking heaven by storm, the need, the way, and the promise. The ministry of John the Baptist was a great blessing to the nation of Israel, but it came with a big jolt. Spiritually speaking, Israel had been slumbering for centuries. 400 years had passed since there had been the last prophet of God who had prophesied. There was no open vision. The people, by and large, with a few exceptions, were asleep. But then, after this long period of silence, John the Baptist was born miraculously to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age. And as he reached the age of maturity, he went into the wilderness. And he was there to prepare for the ministry that God gave him. And in fact, his was a preparatory ministry. He was to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And there in the wilderness, with a rough, curt, radical message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, things started happening in previously sleepy Israel. As I said, his was not a polished or sophisticated message meant to earn people's approval. Instead, it was a hard-hitting message that cut to the heart of everything and everybody. The axe, he said, is laid at the root of the tree. Bring fruits of repentance, or you're going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. Besides the message of repentance, he also spoke about the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in our text about the kingdom of God. And we need to define what this kingdom of God is. Children, do you know what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is? John the Baptist said it's at hand, it's nearby. What did he mean? Did he mean that there was a physical place that you could go to and that was the kingdom of God? No, you can't go somewhere and find a castle and, and a throne on which God literally is seated on that anywhere here in this world. The kingdom of heaven is God's reign, God's rule by grace in the hearts of his people. You see, we were under God's rule once in paradise, Adam and Eve, and we in them, we were God's subjects. We did what he said. We delighted in his presence. He reigned over us there in our state of innocency. But in our fall, we turned our backs on God. We said, as it were, we don't want this God to rule over us. And we went our own way. And we chose the rule of Satan. That's what we did. And we've been under his lordship, Satan's lordship, ever since. Until and unless God turns us back to himself, until we come into his kingdom of grace once again, we are in the kingdom of Satan. But now John came announcing this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom by grace that was there. It was near at hand. And you can picture it as a fortress, because really it's a kingdom that's pictured here as a fortress, as a citadel into which we must enter by repentance and faith. And God works in our hearts to do that. He softens us. He melts our heart. Whereas formerly we were serving Satan and quite happy, quite at ease with that, something starts to change. We start to see things for what they really are. And God is exercising his kingship, his reign, his rule in our hearts. Now, our text gives a very important view of what's involved in entering into the kingdom of heaven. And maybe you say here this morning, you know, I thought entering the kingdom of heaven was God's work. Isn't that what God does? If he brings a person from darkness to light, that's his work. And indeed it is. But the scriptures make very clear, and our text before us makes abundantly clear, that this is not outside our responsibility. And it's not something in which God does not activate you and me as he draws us to himself. In fact, our text uses very remarkable words and paints really a very interesting picture. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Or maybe you say, well, this sounds like you force your way into the kingdom. Like you just press your way into the kingdom. Like you storm into this kingdom. Is that what the Lord is saying? Well, think for a moment of what was happening during these days of John the Baptist. As we said, John's preaching was hard-hitting. It created a buzz in the real sense of the word. But it was a stern preaching. And John was a prophetic wrestler. He wrestled with God, and he wrestled with the souls of men and women as they stood before him. And the Spirit of God was in him and upon him. And he was a violent man. And by that I don't mean physically violent, but his words, his spirit was forceful. He didn't allow for a tepid, easygoing, lazy, easy river kind of Christianity. No. His was a preaching which was aimed at the heart, aimed for conviction, was aimed to change and to transform. He was a spiritually violent man, in the best sense of the word. And so when the Bible is speaking here about since the days of John, there has been this spiritual violence, this violence, that's what it's talking about, a spiritual determination and resolve to fight the battle that we are called to fight, to push through all obstacles, to spare no effort, but at all costs to enter the kingdom of heaven. And this spiritual determination was what Jesus was referring to in the words of our text when he says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. He's picturing here those in whom the Spirit of God is at work, awakening them and making them to be earnest, eager, strong, and forceful in entering in to the kingdom of heaven. The walls are thick and high. There are many enemies trying to keep us out, but all those things tell us, storm the kingdom of heaven to get in. Well, we tend to think of the terms violent and violence in negative ways. And indeed, there's much violence that is absolutely hideous and horrible in our world. And even some commentators, mostly modern ones in the previous decades, they've been thrown off by this negative view that we have of violence. And they say this passage is talking about how the kingdom of God is suffering from the hands of Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and the Herodians and people like that. But that makes no sense of the context. And it's not at all the meaning of this passage. Because that violence against the kingdom, that hostility against the kingdom of heaven, that's been there since the Garden of Eden. In that case, Jesus should have said, for since Adam and Eve, the kingdom of heaven suffereth hostile violence. Not at all what he's speaking about. In fact, from the days of John the Baptist, there are many more people who are interested in the kingdom, pressing into the kingdom. And so the reference here is positive. This is a positive violence. This is a strength. This is a force which Christians are called to have and to have to the uttermost. It's a spiritual force. It's not a physical force. It's not one like in Islam where we exert ourselves in a terrorist way, in a physically, in a militarily violent way. No, but spiritually, as God commands us to. And if you have any doubt in your mind that this is the meaning of the text, Luke 16, verse 16, you can look that up later. There's a parallel passage, and this is how Luke puts it. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. In other words, since the preaching of John the Baptist, there are people everywhere clamoring to get in, trying to get in, trying to enter into the kingdom of God. The gospel, the preaching of John was so blessed that people were zealous, eager to enter into the kingdom of God. The doctrine of repentance, quite the opposite of what we think of the doctrine of repentance. A lot of times we think of this as a gloomy doctrine that puts people off. No, when it's properly preached, biblically preached, it drives people to seek for the only refuge. To make this picture even more vivid in your mind, let me direct you to Pilgrim's Progress. And you might want to look this up later too if you have Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan gives us a wonderful portrait of what this is all about. It's Christian is in the interpreter's house. And there he sees a stately palace filled with people dressed in gold. This is inside the palace. And Christian's eyes are turned to the entrance into that palace, that citadel. And he sees crowds of people standing outside the door, wanting to come in, but not daring to. Around the gate, there are many armed men who want to keep them out. But then Christian sees one man. And this man tells someone who has a table there who's taking the names of all those who want to enter this city. He says, write me down. I'm going into this palace. And he puts on a helmet and he grabs his sword and he rushes towards this gate. And Bunyan puts it like this. The men resist him, but the man won't give up. He begins cutting and hacking most fiercely. After receiving and giving out many wounds, he cuts his way through the presses forward into the palace, hearing voices say, "Come in, come in, eternal glory thou shalt win." And he receives the garment of gold that the others were wearing. Do you see, this is a vivid picture of the violence, the holy violence, the spiritual resolve that we need if we are ever going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why do we need it? Two reasons here under our first point. We need it, first of all, because we're not born with it. We don't come into the world with this spiritual violence built into our souls. In fact, by nature, we're the opposite. We're dead in trespasses and in sins. We're asleep. We're under the sway of the devil. If we feel violent about anything, if we have any determination at all, it's to build our own kingdom, to be our own boss, and to stay out of the kingdom of God. When we hear the preaching of the gospel that says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, agonize to enter in, we quickly tell ourselves, well, other people don't seem to be bothered. There must not be such a rush. Maybe later, maybe when I'm older, when I'm wiser, when I've enjoyed this world, maybe then I can do this. Or to satisfy our conscience, sometimes we put forth a little effort. But then when we feel the heat, when we feel the force of the opposing world, then we quickly draw back. I ask you this morning as we close out this year, how is the battle? How did this year go in terms of the kingdom of God? There's some here who are spiritually asleep. You don't read your Bible. Or if you do, you don't take anything substantial from it. You don't wrestle with it. When you pray, it's to satisfy your conscience or to ask for this or for that. But it's not about God. It's not about a God who is real and you need him. You can't do without him. If that's you, my friend, isn't it time? Isn't it a high time that we become earnest in entering into the kingdom of heaven? Others of you have known this violence, this holy violence. You've known of some conviction. You had maybe different times this year in which you really just, you forced yourself. You grabbed your Bible, you sought to read it, and it lasted a day, a week, a month. Or maybe more. But it was hard to sustain. And honestly, when you face this text this morning, you're not where you're supposed to be. You know it. My friends, this is true for all of us. Every single person here needs this and needs more of it. And that's what we're seeking this with the help of the Spirit to impress upon us. Matthew Poole, in his commentary on this verse, he says, "They are not lazy wishes or cold endeavors that will bring men to heaven. They are not lazy wishes or cold endeavors that will bring men to heaven." Samuel Rutherford said, "Heaven is a strong castle that has to be taken by force." We need spiritual violence. But secondly, we need it, first of all, because we're not born with it and we need it. But secondly, we need it because there are many enemies that stand between us and the gate entering into the kingdom of heaven. You can think of many enemies. Let me just boil it down to the three that we're used to speaking about. There's the world. The world is a strong enemy. As soon as you become serious about your soul and about religion, the world is right there, whispering in your ear, in your heart, saying, "Listen, if you take this too far, if you become too serious in this, you're going to miss out." you're going to lose friends. You're not going to do well in your job. And you're going to miss out on a lot of fun and pleasure. And those things aren't bad, are they? At least not all of them. So the world is really fighting with you. And Satan is such a master enemy. There's hordes of demons. He is in full opposition against anyone who tries to get to the gate of the kingdom of heaven. First, he whispers his lies. Ah, you don't have to take this so seriously. You have plenty of time. You're a good, upstanding Christian person. There'll be plenty of time later on to get serious. And being a Christian is kind of miserable. Anyways, look at those people who are serious. Look at them. You want to be like that. So Satan is after you. And then there's your own heart. That's the worst of them all. There's a pride in our heart that doesn't want to bend, that doesn't want to bow, that doesn't want to go to God's way. There's a laziness that creeps over the best of us and just renders us passive and indifferent, makes us content with things as they are. Or there's the fear of man. We don't want to disappoint our friends. We don't want to stick out as a sore thumb. We're afraid of losing the favor of people around us. Whatever it is, all these things that emerge from our heart are enemies that need to be beaten aside, that need to be taken down, that need to be cut at and hacked at in order to get to the gate and through the gate and thus to storm heaven. Well, friends, this is the need for taking heaven by storm. Perhaps you're asking now, well, how do I do this? How? What is the way? Well, let's look back at our text and especially the context. You really have to read the surrounding chapters to get a sense of what this holy violence is like. If you were to go back to chapter 8, for example, later today or sometime this week and read 8, 9, 10, and up till this point, you'll realize that everyone whom Matthew here, by the inspiration of the Spirit, brings before our eyes is really a picture of this spiritual violence. Now, at the end of Matthew 7, Jesus has said, he's concluded the Sermon on the Mount. You had a sermon on this a few weeks ago. Enter ye in at the straight gate. There's two gates and two ways. And Christ says, enter in. Most people won't, but you who hear me, enter in. And right on the heels of the Sermon on the Mount, you get person after person who exercises this spiritual violence in entering into the kingdom. The first one is the leper in Matthew 8. There he is, full of leprosy. How is he ever going to get into the kingdom? How is he ever going to get to Christ? I don't know how this man heard what Jesus had said, maybe through word of mouth, maybe the Spirit directly put it into him. However it was, there he comes. Despite social convention, despite the laws of Moses, there he comes. He has to get to the kingdom. He has to get to Christ. And he doesn't rest until he falls at the feet of Christ and he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's spiritual violence. Next, there's the Gentile centurion. He is a man who is a servant. He cares about a lot. The servant is at the point of death. Maybe he realizes the servant's going into eternity and he's not prepared. And this centurion, however, whatever he thought, he sends messengers to Jesus. Come quickly. And one word will heal my servant. And he has great faith, such great faith that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I haven't seen faith like this anywhere in all of Israel. They're going to come from the east and from the west, from Gentile lands. They're going to come and they're going to force their way into the kingdom. They're going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, just like this centurion. You see the spiritual violence on the part of this centurion. Or you can go to chapter 9. First thing we read in chapter 9 is that this roof is being torn apart by four friends who have a sick friend that they want to meet Jesus and to be healed by Jesus. And they're just taking the branches and taking the rocks. I mean, if you want a picture of spiritual violence, they're breaking through the roof to let their friend down right in front of Jesus. That's spiritual violence. How about Matthew? There he sits at the publican's booth. This is later on in chapter 9. And Jesus comes past and he says, "Matthew, follow me." And every chain that held Matthew to that publican's booth, all that money, all that greed, all those friends, everything, it breaks. And Matthew gets up and he goes after Jesus. Spiritual violence. Or how about Jairus, whose daughter is at the point of death and then actually dies? And he cries out. He won't let Jesus go. Even when people are saying, "Trouble not the master," Jairus won't let the master go. He troubles him until he comes. That's spiritual violence. Or think of the woman with the issue of the blood. Maybe she's the best picture here of someone who fights her way through the crowd, pushing, and there she goes until she's touched the hem of Christ's garment. Despite the loss, despite social convention, despite everything that she might suffer as a result, she needs one thing. And she conquers every obstacle until she has touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Isn't this taking the kingdom of heaven by violence? You see, in all these people, you see a determination, a resolve. That is exactly what we need. And this is what God works in our hearts by the preaching of His Word. He works it by the preaching of the law. The preaching of the law is very important because this is what John did too. He preached the demands of the law. And we need that because we need to realize that an outward religion, an external religion of going to church and looking and dressing a certain way and saying certain things isn't going to get you into the kingdom. Morality, your and my morality, will not save us. And like one author says, Moses, as it were, puts our religious house on fire so that we can't stay there any longer. And we need to run. We need to let it all go. And we need to get into the one place where there's safety. Namely, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And this is the kind of preaching that we cherish and we want and we need, and which you, by God's grace, have had. And that is a preaching that deals honestly with your souls, deals honestly about the world, honestly about your need, honest about Satan, deals honestly about eternity. It doesn't let you, unwarned, twiddle your thumbs and dream your life away. That's what happens when God blesses preaching unto conviction. And then you're not satisfied with half-truths. Then you're beating down the door of elders and ministers and you're saying, "Be honest with me. Tell me the truth about me. Don't lie to me about my soul." That's when you want to hear it as it really is. And that's when you hate sin with a holy hatred. And you want to be rid of your sin. And you confess your sin. The stuff you kept secret before, it comes out like a river of foul transgression. And you want to be done with it once and for all. And you mortify the lusts behind the sins. It's not just that you appear good in the sight of other people, but you dig deeper. You want to get at those triggers, at those things that cause you to sin, and you search them out and you pray for the light of the Holy Spirit to just expose them in order that they can be cleaned out and cut out. And your friends, which you formerly loved, you love them, but you love their souls. And if they are dragging you down and they're dragging you the wrong way, then there must be a parting of the way. Eternal life, eternal life. And you're on your knees, you're begging God for mercy. You want His presence. Your heart pants for Him. It thirsts for Him. You're not satisfied just with church services. You need God. And when things aren't right in your soul, because that's often how it feels, you don't let the Lord go. You don't just shrink back with a little effort and say, well, I guess it's not meant to be. No, you seek God until you have Him. You seek God until you know Him. You seek God until you see Him. And you take radical steps. You come with your music player and you delete ungodly music. Stuff that you excused. Stuff that you said it wasn't all that bad. All of a sudden it's bad and it has to go. And you don't just not listen to it, you delete it from your playlist or whatever you need to do so that it's not there, that the temptation is gone. And you suffer financial loss if it means doing what God says. It's a word that stuck with me this week, Revelation 3, verse 19. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And when God is working in our hearts, then we stir ourselves up to read the Bible. We're hungry for it. We may not always be so ready to read it, but we're praying and we're doing what we can to read it. We crush all thoughts that fight against truth. We give ourselves to the Bible. We believe its promises. We speak against Satan and his logic when he whispers, well, this may not be true, and that's not true. That's not for today. We fight that battle, and we don't subject the Bible to our own reasoning, calling things into question. We read this Bible as the pure Word of God, refined in the fire 7 times. Pure gold, better than gold. We want it. We hide it in our hearts. We hang on it with our souls. We want eternity close. We want God. We want holiness. We want to see other people saved. And so we stir ourselves up. We stir ourselves up to pray. We seek to see others stirred up as well. We're not content until we have heaven by storm. Taking heaven by storm isn't just these things that I've mentioned, praying, meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, repenting of sin. It's also taking heaven by storm, ultimately, is resting on Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You say that sounds like a contradiction. Violence, resting. You know, sometimes you have to fight to rest. Sometimes you have to force your bodies to take a vacation. And even when you're on vacation, you've got to fight so that you can rest. And there's everything that screams at you not to rest in Christ, not to rest on Him alone, to rest maybe partially on Him, but partially on your works, on your activities, on your resolves. No. Taking the kingdom by holy violence means we cling to the cross. We hold on to the cross of Jesus Christ with all that we are. I am crucified with Christ. That's your greatest desire, and you're not content without it. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. My friends, that's it. That's what taking the kingdom by holy violence is, resting in Jesus Christ every day as much as possible. The very reason that we can take the kingdom of heaven by force is because the Lord Jesus Christ came so low. He came so close. He brought the kingdom of grace so close to us. And He is so approachable. He left the kingdom of glory, we could say, in heaven in order that He might move among you and me with His grace, with His Holy Spirit. And He calls us and He promises everything you and I need in order to have this holy violence and storm the kingdom of heaven. In fact, let me put it like this. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered unholy violence in order that he might give people like you and like me a holy violence. He was nailed to the cross. He came into the kingdom of darkness. He suffered at the hands of the kingdom of darkness in order that he might give you and me that strength, that power, that holy violence in order for us to take the kingdom of heaven by storm. And dear friends, ultimately, he is working all things out in his people to draw them to himself. But he says it very clearly. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hold those two things together. Divine sovereignty, yes. Human responsibility, yes. 100% both, absolutely. How do you reconcile them, you say? You don't need to reconcile them. Spurgeon was asked that question once, why or how do you reconcile divine sovereignty and human responsibility? He says, you don't need to reconcile friends. They're already reconciled. Your and my duty is this, to hear God's word and to do what he says. And he's calling you without delay to holy violence. I want to speak to some of you here who think, at least this is how you're living, that you'll just kind of glide or slide into heaven without much effort. If nothing else, I want you to know today that you and Christ are worlds apart, because Christ said the exact opposite. Strive, agonize to enter in at the straight gate. And I would to God that you would see it today, before we leave this year. You've had people wrestle for your souls. You see people around you earnestly and eagerly seeking to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you're behind. Yes, you're interested. But that's where it ends. Why, my friend, are you sleeping away the day of grace? What if this church was on fire? Would you just stay here? Would you just get comfortable and lie in the pew and go to sleep? Would you rush out of this place? Would you? What if the world was on fire? Wouldn't you seek for that one place of safety? And wouldn't you scale the walls? Wouldn't you tear back the doors until you were safe? Don't you care about your soul? The violent take it by force. This is the way that the Lord is calling you and me to this last day of 2017. There's a great promise, and with this we close, a great promise that he affixes to this call. Notice, the violent take it. The violent take it by force. There's a great promise for everyone who is spiritually violent. The promise is success. One man put it like this. He said, only the violent are saved, but every violent one is saved. Isn't that encouraging? There are many things that you may set out to do in 2018. Maybe you're already making plans. That's good. That's good to do, to have that forward-lookingness that makes plans. But this should be at the top of the list. Spiritual violence. 2018, a year of spiritual violence that takes the kingdom of heaven by force. God promises to those like that, they will take the kingdom. It doesn't say you may take the kingdom. There's a good chance you'll take the kingdom. No, the violent take it. Spurgeon says this, have you got a notion in your heads that the road to paradise is all a lawn? The grass smoothly mown, still waters and green pastures ever and anon to cheer you. You have just got to clear your heads of that deceitful fancy. The way to heaven is uphill and downhill. Uphill with difficulty, downhill with trials. It is through fire and through water, through flood and through flame, by the lions and the leopards. Through the very mouth of dragons is the path to paradise. But the man who finds it so and who desperately resolves in the strength of God to tread that path, who does not resolve as if he could do nothing else but resolve, but who feels driven as if with a hurricane behind him to go into the right road, this man is never unsuccessful. Never. And so, dear congregation, hold these words very close. Some of you are fighting. You fought this year. And maybe you're afraid that this kingdom will get out of your grasp, that there will be one sword between you and the door that will knock you off. Don't give up, my friend. Let's fight together. Let's not rest until we're through the gate, into the city, clothed in gold. And God tells us that if we fight, we will conquer. If we fight in God's strength, we will conquer by his grace. And what will it be to get into this kingdom of heaven? All out of free grace. And see the king there in this kingdom. That's who it's all about. To see him who's devised such a way of salvation. It's perfect from beginning to end. Also this, he devised it this way. Don't quibble with it, but come under it. As we close, friends, the only way to heaven is to have heaven is to storm it. So we end 2017 and begin 2018 storming heaven. Amen.